asked a fuck rabbit, she answered me nay. Such custom like yours I can have an eBay. Well, it's no nay, never. No nay, never, no more will I claim what a rover.
There was a lot of that singing going on over the weekend, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, the Wild Rover. I've got a few Wild Rovers in the studio, I think. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought, let's continue the celebrations in Voices of Diversity, of course, with Samina Shaheen, cross-cultural psychologist. Each week we highlight a nationality, a culture, people living here in the UAE, and find out a little bit more about them. And this week it is Ireland. And staying with us on the show, we've got Zora Qureshi from the ARN Newsroom. We've also got Michael Nugent of the Irish Business Network, and joining us here, it gives me pleasure to welcome to the show Nessa Lawless. Good morning to you, Nessa.
Morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. Hello there. And also we have James Mullen. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Suzanne.
Hello, hello. Let's get your mic up. And Lorraine Martinson. Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. Welcome. Now, Lorraine, you are CEO of the ARN Group, mm-hmm. which is this wonderful idea of bringing gourmet Irish foods to the UAE. So you are promoting them, you are distributing them through Milk and Honey, I believe.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Excellent. So we're going to be talking Irish food in this hour. And then, of course, James, you're co-founder of Mid East Post and also managing partner of Insight. So this is a media training business. And you've been here in the UAE for many years. When did you first come here?
I arrived here the 8th of August, 1996. So rather a long time. And in fact, the first person, the only person I actually knew when I came was an Irish person. From her, obviously, my great circle of friends developed, as is the way.
So was this a friend or a family member, James?
No, this was a guy I was working with in London, had met this woman at a party in London, and she said, "Oh, I'm living in Dubai." And he said, "Well, I've got a friend who's actually going there. Here are his details." So, as I say, from that small beginning, I got very, very heavily involved at that particular time, actually, in the Irish Society, sort of the 96 through to 98. I knew quite a few people and was heavily involved. So, yes, that's the way it happens.
And no stranger to Dubai, I, of course, a regular contributor to Talking of Books on a Saturday, and you were moderating at the Literary Festival the other weekend. So, so lots to talk about with James also. And then we have Nessa Lawless, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you, Nessa, to the show. What brought you to Dubai?
I came here first in August 1978, Ramadan, with my husband. He's in the hotel business, and we were transferred here from Glasgow. He was offered the job, and the company said, "Would you like to go to Dubai?" And he said, "Yes, please." And then, where is it? We didn't worry about. We just wanted to get overseas. So we stayed here for about 4 years, and we were transferred around various countries, and we came back here 20 years ago, and we've been here since.
Wow, so you've seen a lot of changes over the years. Yes. And changes in people. I mean, when you first came here then in the 70s, were there many Irish people here? Who did you network with?
There was quite a small group of Irish people. The Trade Centre was the biggest building in the Middle East at the time, and the Sheikh Zayed Road was a two-way road. But it was a lovely community. We joined a sailing club, Jebel Ali Sailing Club, and learned to sail. And that was a terrific introduction to the expatriate community here. And we sailed our Hobie 16 every weekend. So it was enjoyable. We've given that up now for more leisurely golf instead.
Lovely. And of course, golf is a great favourite, I think, of the Irish back in the home country as well as here in the UAE. So there's some crossover there. And you also qualified not too long ago as an archivist. So that's very interesting. Yes. What work are you doing with archiving?
I went to university in Liverpool. I just decided I'd like to learn more. I'd been doing my family tree, my own family history, and doing genealogical research, and thought there must be more to archives than just birth, marriage and death certificates, so I want to find out what goes on behind the scenes. So I applied to Liverpool and they had an international master's, so I got a place there with 23 other young people in their 20s. So I had a fantastic year there and graduated in December 2009, and I'm now setting up here as a business archivist to advise.
That's companies. Amazing, you know, but we know that mature students are such better students than the younger students, so I'm sure you did very well.
Well, I enjoyed the whole experience, and my fellow students embraced me into their group, and we were in pub quizzes and we went to the Grand National.
Pulling all-nighters and procrastinating, yeah. Waiting till the last minute, yeah, to do essays.
They were terrific. They were so helpful because I was originally qualified as a lawyer, and I didn't need to write essays in my previous academic career. So trying to learn how to reference things and using different systems, which was a huge learning curve, but so enjoyable.
And fabulous that you're bringing that knowledge now back here to the UAE with the new business.
Yes. Well, here, while I was away, coincidentally, the UAE passed its own national archival legislation in December 2009. And they're looking at collating all their records, which have been generated since the country was formed in 1971. And mainly because of the push towards e-government, they want to make sure they have all the records digitised. But and there are archivists appointed in the Dubai Municipality and Zayed University. As far as I know, the Economic Department and the Chamber of Commerce, excuse me, but there are no business archivists here. It's a new a new pursuit in this part of the world. I mean, Diageo, Marks and Spencer's, all the, about 20% of the FTSE 100 companies have their own in-house archivists. But it's very new here, so I'm hoping to raise awareness and get people to
fabulous
look at their records.
Great, great place to be. Excellent. Yes, and Lorraine, well, how did you come to Dubai?
I first came to Dubai in December 1991, and I had finished studying and didn't want to follow the normal pattern of the Irish travelling to America or London and living there, or Germany. I always had an interest in the Far East and the Middle East. But of course, coming from a real Catholic Irish family, you know, that wasn't the norm to want to come out this area. So they wouldn't allow me to backpack or do anything like that. And then I saw an advert in the newspaper for Emirates Airlines back in Dublin. And I said, OK, that's a safe way. I can travel the world and stay, you know, in proper supervision, as to say, but get a chance to experience a different lifestyle. So I left and promised I'd be back within 6 months. And that didn't happen. So, but I just, I'd never met anybody apart from going on holidays. You know, we only went to Spain or back in Ireland, so I'd never met people from all different countries. And that's what I loved about Dubai, you know. I just, back even then, it wasn't the commercial part that drew me. It was the people. Met Australians and people from Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine, locals, of course. So it was just amazing. I just loved it.
The Irish are great travellers, aren't they? Why is that, do you think, James?
Well, for most of our history, we've been forced to travel because there haven't been the opportunities in Ireland. So we've had to emigrate. And in fact, I think I was part of the last major wave of emigration, which was in the late 80s. Things were very tough. I mean, I'd qualified. I had a law degree from Dublin, but I'd gone to the States, come back, and got a job in advertising. I was a copywriter. And I would have been happy to stay there, but the opportunities simply weren't there. So I had to go to, it was the first port of call was London, which opened its arms to me. And London was fantastic for me. I mean, I spent 9 years there before coming to the UAE. But I mean, when I went to the States, you know, I had relations who we hadn't been in touch with for two generations, basically. On my mother's side, they'd been split up. They'd had to leave Ireland because of the Civil War, and Civil War, which happened in the 20s, and there had been no contact whatsoever between the families up until the point at which I had actually gone there. And the number of relations that I actually had in the States that I didn't know of was phenomenal. Mm. It was incredible.
I think that's fascinating, and I think it's you're not on your own, are you? That's quite a common story in a sense. Even I have Irish roots. I mean, my brother and I took my grandmother to Galway because she had never been to Ireland, and yet her father was Irish and she'd never ever been. And we took her when she was in her 70s, and that was the only time she went. And most of her family ended up in the States, so there are relations there that I have no idea about. And because the tendency to have large families, there would be brothers who would have travelled and gone off to America or to Australia or wherever, and you may never have seen them again. So it is a fascinating history, I think, with the Irish. And I'm sure, again, for you, Nasser, with the genealogy, it's got to be interesting to trace back. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Irish culture. And if you come back, we will answer the question on who wrote When Irish Eyes Are Smiling.